Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi face off over the State of the Union as the US government shutdown enters unknown territory. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week you can find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Earlier this week, Trump proposed some DACA adjustments to try to convince Democrats to give him money for his wall and reopen the government. Why weren't they good enough?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One of them is these were promises. There was no bill. There's nothing in it. How can you trust him? The last time he promised that, he went back on his word. So if the Democrats had caved and he went back on his word, what could they do? So they weren't going to do anything until there was a piece of legislation, and that has not come.
This morning, yet another bill has been passed by the Democrats to reopen the government, not demanding anything, just sort of keeping things as they are. It has once again been rejected by the Republican Senate. What's the latest, Ed?
Well, that's not the only thing that's going on. Clearly, the Democrats have said they do this. This bill was passed by both houses, and Trump vetoed it. And that's how we got in the stalemate. So it is absolutely nothing new. And the Democrats keep saying, hey, if it was good enough last time, why isn't it good enough this time?
Hitting Trump where it hurts, Nancy Pelosi has blocked Trump from delivering the State of the Union address before Congress this coming week, unless the government reopens. She's a tough customer, Ed, and Trump, I don't think, knows how to deal with her.
Yeah, I think it's the state of the disunion. This hasn't happened since Abraham Lincoln, when the states left the Union. So the situation is simply this. No body can come before the Congress without an invitation. And it doesn't matter whether you're a foreign dignitary, the president of the United States, a king or a queen, or even a person who thinks they should be king. You can't come in the doors without an invitation. And the only person who can issue the invitation is the Speaker of the House. And guess what? She's not sending out any invitations right now. So Mr. Trump is in a very, very bad place. He cannot come through those doors without her invitation. And he said he's going to do it anyway. Somebody must have told him if he tried to do that, he might end up in jail. So he's not going to do that. And he really doesn't know what he's going to do, which means Trump has been trumped. Where does he go now? He's falling in the polls. He's down to 36%. Since they've been taking polls, I don't believe any president has reached that far down. Maybe Carter got there when the Iranian captive situation, but not for this prolonged period of time. So Mr. Trump doesn't have anyone to appeal to. 60-some percent of the American people don't want the wall. Actually, those numbers are better than they were. It was 70 or 80. So people are willing to accept some kind of security measures. But since he hasn't spelled those out and he wants $5.7 billion, oh, my gosh. I used to ask my dad for money without telling him where I was going and how I was going to spend it. So I think he's asking Mom, and Mom is saying no.
Just on that figure, the $5.7 billion, I think it was actually last week I saw a story saying that the impact the shutdown was having on the U.S. economy had already passed $5.7 billion, the $5.7 billion that I guess could have gone towards the wall. Federal workers are certainly hurting, but what is this meaning for the economy overall?
Well, I think what you saw is this is costing the economy about $5 billion a day. So it wasn't... the length of this that's cost $5 billion is $5 billion a day, the total impact. The United States is a very big economy, but nobody can take a punch like that every day. And it's having some really bad fundamental impacts on the economy. When you have a situation where you start affecting trade and the United States needs to inspect packages and parcels that come to the United States from foreign countries. They don't just come in. They're stacking up on the docks and in airports because the inspectors aren't there. So this is costing a lot of money that people don't see. The people who are losing their paychecks do important things. For example, I'd be very careful about going in a restaurant because the agricultural inspectors are not on the job. That means meat that has to be inspected, if it's not inspected, it's sitting in a freezer for a very long time. You can't stop the cows from bringing them to market and slaughtering them on time, but you cannot send the meat to the table until it's been inspected by a U.S. meat inspector. Mm. The same thing's true in many vegetables and the like. So this is costing the economy in ways that people cannot see. The way they're going to see it very, very soon, of course, is when we have a situation where the air traffic controllers leave their post. When that happens, planes are going to stop flying.
I think it's actually rather appropriate you talk about the health inspectors, though, as well, because we had that, the lettuce scare late last year, and I think there was numbers coming out that bad lettuce killed more Americans in 2018 than terrorists.
Oh, my goodness. Now we're going to have a lettuce wall?
Moving on to the Mueller investigation, a BuzzFeed story originally claimed that Trump had directed former lawyer Michael Cohen to lie for him to Congress. The Mueller team came out, refuted some of that story, but it's not actually clear which parts were incorrect or which parts they felt overstepped the line. Just what are your thoughts on this one, Ed?
Oh, my thoughts on this is Mueller is very clever. He drops a little leak, and then he retracts the leak. So the president doesn't know whether he has the goods or doesn't have the goods. So he doesn't know how to prepare to defend himself. Really clever. He has the goods. And he was letting the president know he has the goods. That's what that was all about.
Mm. Hopefully very soon he'll be showing the rest of us the goods.
Well, we have just yesterday it was reported that Cohen's refusing to testify before the Congress because he fears for his family's safety. Mm-hmm. The president sent out a Twitter where he says he had to look out for his father and his family, fairly thin-veiled threats against the father and the family. That used to be called witness tampering. I think this man has lost touch with reality, and his lawyers must be going wild now. You just can't do that.
Also, Brexit. We talked about the vote last week. Anything this week in terms of the spillover between Brexit and, well, the situation in the U.S.?
Well, both of these economies are in rocky shape, and you can see that in the stock markets. They've been going up and down, but mostly down. I think this instability is coming at a very bad time when the Chinese economy is slowing on its own. Europe's economy, interestingly enough, is beginning to slow. It was gathering momentum because they hadn't really recovered from the GFC, and now they're beginning to slow. And there are several reasons for that. One of these is that the European economies, as they recovered primarily in dead stock being taken off the books, like real estate deals. When I was in Spain, I saw villas that had not been occupied all over the place and cranes on the sky. And that stuff is being cleaned up. But new product, new Fords in Spain are not being made anymore. Ford production in Poland even is down. Auto production, auto parts are way, way down. The number of units, auto units this year, is the same as last year. Well, you have to expand them to make more profits. And the high-end vehicles that the Germans produce are not hitting a buying market. And China was a big part of that buying market. In China, if you had one Mercedes, you were nobody. But of course, if you had five or six, you might be somebody. So this is a bit of a catastrophe, and we're feeling it here. The slump in the housing market here is a direct reflection of U.S. investment slowing, so there's no U.S. capital around, and no Chinese capital around. I think Trump has started a recession.
And just finally, Ed, Martin Luther King. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day earlier this week. You and I, we spoke at one point at considerable length about you having met the man, your experiences there during the civil rights movement. Anything to add this week?
No, not much, except that Martin Luther King's legacy is fading in the sense that the spirit, I guess Lives Matter, Black Lives Matters, is still continuing it. And that kind of spirited movement to get more rights, to recognize that people are humans no matter what color they are, and the progress that was being made in education, etc. Now's the fight again, but the people haven't fought in so long, they're not prepared for it. So African Americans around the country are in reflection. Is it time to come out and fight again?
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.